Hello, and welcome to Legacy Church Amelia Island. We know that you will be blessed by the message that you're about to hear and pray that it helps you to leave a Christ-glorifying legacy for generations to come.
Well, good to be with Legacy family. Thank you so much for being a part of our gatherings here today. Whether you're in the building or online, I hope that there's a certain value you feel every time you're with our family. That every time you come in, you feel prayed for because you are. You feel encouraged and loved because truly our goal is to encourage you in all that God has for you. And so today is a special day. It's a special day because we head into a new series. And so we're so excited and expected about all that God is going to do in this new series. But also we want to update you with what's going on tomorrow night. Tomorrow night is our prayer and fast. And so if you've been a part of our church family, we do everything in our power to teach the precepts and the principles of the Bible. And so if you're not used to praying and fasting, just open up your Bible. You'll see it all throughout the Bible. And so we're trying to create a culture of just walking out what that looks like in our homes and our families. And so tomorrow night we'll be here at 6:30 for some prayer points and some worship. And it's truly an impactful time to start your month off with just surrendering all to the Lord. What we have shown and taught in our church family is an amazing thing happens when you decrease in the natural so you can grow in the spiritual. Amen? So we hope you'll see you there. Well, today as we start a new series, the series is going to be called The Way. And this series is going to lead us all the way down that Via Dolorosa with Jesus and to the cross and then to that resurrection tomb. This series is going to help us unpack what the way truly looks like, and it's going to open some things up in your life that I cannot wait for you to see. And so you can already open up your Bibles, get ready. We're going to be doing some business in John chapter 14. And in verse 1, fire up the app if you need to. And you're going to see Jesus' parting words, his closing information, and what he wants us to know as he's leaving, really, his public ministry, and now his final words of what he wants us to know. And I want to start off today by reading this before we pray and begin our time together. It says this in verse 1. This is the words of Jesus. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Someone say, be troubled. Think of all the things in this world, in this life, that come to trouble our hearts. All these things that are out of our control. All these things that we didn't plan on. I mean, we're only 3 months into the year, Jesus. Already? I thought maybe this would be a year 5, 6, or 7. Or month 5, 6, or 7. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. And for some of you, you can close your Bibles and walk out with that one, right? He says, don't be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I love verse 2. My Father's house has many rooms. Anybody have the imagery of going back to mom and dad's house? They always had a room for you. Every time my mom sees me, she's watching online today, she always says, when's the last time that you ate? She always says, you're getting too skinny. She says, you're not eating at all, are you? And so she makes you 3 or 4 meals. But this imagery of in my Father's house, all that you need is going to be there. You'll be fed. You'll be loved. You'll be welcomed. He says, my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back. Someone say, come back. He's coming back. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. He will come back for you and me. I will come back and take you to be with me that you also may be where I am. You know what that does for me? That says my joy, my hope is not built up in this life. Oh, it's in the next life. Someone say amen. It's the life to come, he says. That's where your hope should be. I love that you also may be where I am. He says, you know the way to the place where I am going. So you know the way. You know the place where I'm going. And I love that the Bible is so transparent. It connects more than you could ever imagine because he says, you know the way I'm going. And I don't know if you've ever read that before. When you read that, you're like, what way? I'm sorry. Did I miss a turn? Did I miss a yield? Did I miss a direction here? You read in verse 5, all of us have a little bit of Thomas in us. Poor Thomas, the rest of history known as Doubting Thomas, but truly Thomas is me and Thomas is you. Old Thomas says in verse 5, he says, Lord, what are you even talking about? He says, enough with the metaphors and the analogies. I don't know this. Am I the only guy lost in this room with the other 11? Does anybody know what he's talking about? Because I don't. He says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. We've been following you for 3 years now, and we never know where you're going and what you're doing. So how can we know the way? I don't know what that does to somebody here today. You've got some questions. You've got some things going on in life and in your heart and your family or in your direction in some way. And you're asking God, how am I to know the way? How am I to know the way? We're going to unpack what that looks like today, these next few moments. I want to talk to you from the message. How can we know the way? Father, we gather in this place with hearts open before you, Father. We're praying that through the volume of your scripture, through the inerrant, powerful words that we read through today, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, our souls, speak to our past, our present, and our future, because you are Lord of all of it. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and have your way. Speak to your people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a question for you. Who in the room is good with directions? Who is, you are the mapographer, if that's a thing. Every trip you take, you're the one, if you're going left or right or get off of this exit, not like you are the person. When someone asks you for directions, you are the one, you say words like, oh, that's in the southwest quadrant of the city. And none of us know what you mean by that, by the way. Like, you are the one that shames the rest of us because you never get lost. Well, I've come here to tell you and to testify, I'm not that person. As a matter of fact, my girls no longer get nervous when we get lost. It's normal. It's expected. You got to get lost a couple of times before you find where you're going, is what I say. That's just where they are in life. They beg for us to fly places and not drive places. And I asked why, and they said, so we don't get lost. So that's a fair point. But for me, it's about the view. It's about the journey. It's the scenic view sometimes, right? They're like, no, Dad, no. Tomato, tomato, call it what you want. But I'm not great with directions, and I don't know if that's ever going to change by this point in life. But what I want to say is this. Maybe like me, or maybe like Thomas in the scripture that we read, maybe there's some directional things in life that you are prayerful about right now. Maybe there's some things you're walking through and you're asking God with your family, you're asking God with just different areas of your life, and you're praying, you're processing, and you're trying to navigate through what that way looks like. And I don't know if you caught it or not, but Thomas said, what's the way? And did we get an answer in verse 5? Did we get an answer? What is the way? Keep on reading the scripture. You might want to highlight this. You might want to screenshot it, whatever your preference is. But we get the way in verse 6. I want to read it together here. This is the red letter words in your Bible. Jesus answered, I am the way. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So as we start this month of March, just a few Sundays away from Resurrection Sunday, we're going to address this, the way portion. Then we'll move on to the truth and the life and how it relates to the Father. But right now, it's about the way. Right now, it's looking at this scripture and seeing that he is the way to every decision, every direction. It's looking his way. It's looking into his word. It's looking into his precepts and his principles to follow what he told Thomas and the rest of the 11, what he tells you and I today. You want to know the way? Look to me and look to my words. I often start the new year with reading through the Bible. It's my goal throughout the year, read through the Bible. And what this year, he's shifted my perspective is just to read through the words of the gospel of Jesus. And so there's something powerful about looking to his words for the way, in every season, in every situation of life. I'll give you this in this series, in the ones to come, we're going to be looking through the I am statements of Jesus, because it's going to be so important for us to highlight in just 9 months left of the year, believe it or not. 9 months left is all we have, but knowing that we're going to walk in God's principles and precepts and his purpose to see these 7 statements become true in our life. And I'll put those on the screen so you can see them. But these 7 statements you will hopefully be able to pick out in the messaging series. And no, I'm not going in sequential order. So all of you type A's, I apologize. I apologize. I know. And I felt the same way until God just shifted my heart. Today, we're starting with number six, because if you can get number six, the rest fall in line. If he's the way for every situation, if he's the format, if he's the model, if what his word says is your view, then the rest will work out. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says this is how they would know the way. This is how you and I are going to know the way. This powerful I am statement of Jesus is explaining he is not merely one way among many ways to God. He says in no uncertain terms, are you ready for it? He is the way. And we can say that, and we can profess that unashamedly. And we can say that not shaming anyone or anything, not with malice, not with judgment of anyone, but this is the truth, thus says the word of our God. This is the scripture that has stood the test of time, that throughout time kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall. Heaven and earth fades away, but there's one thing the Bible says does not fade, and that's his word. We're going to have to learn to make this interchangeable, that he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. I want to take a step back for a moment and ask you a question. When you hear Jesus be very exclusive in that language, how does that make you feel? When you hear him say that the way to the Father is only through him, how does that make you feel? Does that make you feel confident and proud that you've been so blessed that he heard your cry? Does that make you feel confused? Like, hold on, there's a lot of world religions. There's a lot of well-meaning people that share my last name, that I share an office with, that I love, that I appreciate, or that maybe I have empathy for the rest of the people in the world. How does that make you feel? And maybe if it's your first time hearing this, you're still trying to process right now in real time, how am I supposed to feel about that? And the Bible says that narrow is the gate, or narrow is the road to the Lord, but wide is the road to destruction. How am I supposed to feel about that? Well, here's how this should translate. Jesus is an exclusive way to God with an exclusive model. And the model is Jesus and Jesus alone. This is the way, this is the model that we are given. And because of this model, I want to show you how not just powerful, but how the proof, as someone once said, is in the pudding. Right? I've got a football coach back in the corner over here, a good friend of mine, Will. And he can tell you as he coaches defense, you don't mark people who don't give you problems, right? You guard, you mark. I'm using soccer language. You defend football players. You tackle the guys that are creating problems. And we live in a culture where you can say the God of anything you want. But the moment you say the name of Jesus, what does that do? It's a red flag. It becomes problematic publicly. Becomes problematic in different places because now you've exclusively singled out the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God who created the heavens and the earth, the God who reveals himself as Yahweh. You can say the God of anything, but when you say, we pray in Jesus' name, when you say, I serve Jesus, you single out, that's the God who created the heavens and the earth. That's the God who gave his son to die. It begins to be problematic, and here's the further issue with it. If there's no power in his name, if there's not truth in his name, if there's not an exclusivity to get to the Father through Jesus, then why does his name cause so much consternation and problems? Why is his name outlawed in not one but several countries? Why does his name become problematic in this country, in public, at public gatherings? Why? If there's no power. But that's what the enemy has attacked. Because when we say his name, demons tremble in fear. When we say his name, walls begin to fall. When we say his name, conviction begins to flood the heart of mankind. Do I know this Savior? Do I know this Lord? Or have I just followed something that I was told or indoctrinated with? There's a very real thing that this does. But let's look at the big picture. Can you think of things in your life? I want you to really think about things in your life that are exclusive. That is yours. You own it. You pay for it. It is yours. It's exclusive, and you like it that way. For some of you, you have country club benefits, and you like it that way. You can take friends and family and experience those things. For others of you, you have exclusive benefits to play golf at different courses around the community and around the state. For others of us, we have exclusive membership at CVS with that little card. Who doesn't want to save 50 cents on $20? Who doesn't want to? I do. And so you get a card every time you go, right? Why not? Being exclusive or exclusivity is not a bad word. It just shows ownership. It just shows a certain boundary that you will have access if you take these steps. It seems in our world, everybody's proud of having exclusive things or being in exclusive relationships, except when it comes to access to the Father. Then exclusivity, then having an exclusive relationship, then that becomes problematic. Then it becomes, you're stepping on my way of seeing things. You're stepping on my worldview. Everybody's proud of their exclusive things or benefits or opportunities. Have you met someone who has a Costco card? Yeah, they're very, very proud. Like, don't talk about buying things at a regular store or one of these little grocery marts and have a friend or family member who shops at Costco. They will let you know they can buy 102 corn dogs for the price that you and I buy 10 corn dogs. They will let us know they can buy a lifetime's worth of Swiss cheese for the price you and I just pay for a simple packet at Publix. They feel the need to let us know that on the way out, they can get a pizza for 50 cents with a Coke. Okay, fantastic. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, there's a pride in certain memberships, like only exclusive, like you don't have the card. Sorry. It's not Friends and Family Day. Sorry, you can't. There's a certain sense of privilege with exclusive things in our culture, but there also is in the faith. And the lack of honor that our culture, that our world has shown towards the one way to the Father through the Son has now reverberated through generations to where we have relegated the way to a way. The Son of God to a prophet and a good man. Because any historian worth their salt, no one denies Jesus. No one denies the person who lived. No one denies the prophet. Josephus and other first century writers, he's in their writings. There's much, much, much proof of him. But what humanity has done is they've relegated him to not the, but a way. Have you ever thought about what that makes God feel like? The creator of the heavens and the earth, the creator of humanity, and what humanity has done, what we have done is we have isolated ourselves. We have distanced him to be a way and not the way. It's very trendy in our culture to say things like this, and maybe you've heard it. Well, all roads lead to God. I wonder when that became a thing. I wonder when that became okay to say, and I wonder when God heard that. He said, what? In our culture, we say, make sure you find your own way. We say things like, I'm trying to find myself, which is very interesting. If you don't know who you are, who tells you you found yourself? I mean, I hate to be so cavalier, but if you don't know who you are and you bump into yourself at some point, this is the culture, isn't it? This is the culture. This is why there's so much confusion in our culture and in our homes. There's so much confusion when we find other ways. The Bible gives a very, very stern warning. It's like a code red. It's like a hurricane warning. It's a tsunami warning. It's an earthquake warning. Do they have earthquake warnings? Is that a thing? Any West Coasters? Yeah? Okay. No. Okay. So take that one out. There's no earthquake warnings. But like a hurricane warning for us who get those. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a warning when you don't look to God's way. And you find your own way as it's very much so the thing in our culture. It says this, there is a way, someone say a way. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of what? Death. You want an example? Look at our world. Look at our homes. Look at our marriage. Look at our babies, our children, our grandchildren. Look at our schools. Look at all these kinds of things. It's because there are different ways that are being chosen. It's because we are negating God to be a way instead of what? The way. It's because somewhere in humanity, it became culturally appropriate to only add God into certain things and not make him the thing. We are living in a generation where everyone wants to have it their way. That's okay at Burger King. Not in your spiritual life. Not in your family. Not in your future. Here's the problem that no one's addressing in the room, though. Here's the elephant that no one's seeing. We can all choose a way, but what if the way you choose leads to death? Here's when it's not so rude anymore. You know, you talk to people, you're like, I don't want to step on their toes. But what if the way they choose leads to death? Like not just eternal death, but death in this life with a heart that's far from God. How are we to respond to this with this information that God gives us, that Jesus, off the lips of Jesus, Thomas said, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know where you're going. I don't know how to process this information. What am I to do with this? He says, I am the way. And if we are to respond to this, here's how we're called to respond. We are called to follow the way, and we are called to point others to the way. Are you hearing me? We are called to follow the way, and we are called to point others to the way. Faith was never meant to be private. You can keep your finances private. You can keep your traumas private. You can keep, God willing, your politics private. But your faith, never meant to be private. Your faith, the Bible says in Matthew 5:15, it looks like this. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to who? Is there anything private about that? Everyone. Everyone needs your story. You are so valuable to the kingdom of God. You are so valuable to this church. You're so valuable to this community and to your home because of your light. And the light that emanates from your life. In the Bible, it is deemed, listen to this. In the Bible, it is deemed more risky and reckless to withhold your light than to share it. Because I've heard some people say, well, I don't know how to share my faith, and I don't have the Bible memorized, and I don't know scripture. At the same time, we know every sports team and every athlete and every draft prospect. Anybody see that guy break the 40 time this past week? Yeah, like we know everybody's name and functions and colors, like mother of pearl. I don't know what that color is. Like we know a lot of stuff. But anyways, we say, I don't want to come off the wrong way. No, it's okay. Share your faith. Share your testimony. Share how God changed your life. And here's the biggest thing to know. It's not up to you to save anybody. It's up to you to follow the way and point others to what? The way. Acts 4 says it like this. No one else can save us. Indeed, we can be saved only by the power of the one named who? All we have to do is point the way. All we have to do is say is the name of the one who saved us. All we have to do is be culturally or politically inappropriate, whatever it needs to happen. All we have to do is just make it happen, right? It's Jesus who saved me. It's Jesus who turned my life around. It's Jesus who met me at the lowest point of my life. It's Jesus who saved my grandparents and my parents. Do you see what I'm saying? It's just saying we point the way. I am so appreciative and grateful that a man named Russ Whited was not worried about being culturally appropriate or acceptable or even worried about what ramifications would be in the workplace, that he found a worker named Carlos Serrano, my father, in 1987. I'm so glad that didn't stop him from inviting him to church. And I'm so glad it didn't stop him from going to a church and accepting Jesus, no other name, accepting Jesus, and then bringing that Jesus home to his wife and his three small children. I was five at the time. I'm so glad that there's still people in this world that will say, you know what? I'm going to do what it takes. I'll be undignified if that's what it's considered. I'll step out of place if that's what's considered. If I'm an introvert, I'll be an extrovert for Jesus in the moment. I'll do whatever it takes to follow the way and point the way. See, when you see it this way, it doesn't sound so harsh. You're sharing your testimony. You're sharing your story. Well, I don't know if I can believe that Bible. You're looking at proof of that Bible right here. It's written 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago. This is written today. My life, my family. My parents, like, it's written here today. When you see it that way, it makes it less aggressive and less intimidating. When you believe Jesus is the only way and the truth and the life, you have this privilege of sharing it in not a condescending way, but a kind way. We can't miss this one. You cannot miss this one. There's nothing worse than a condescending, quote-unquote, Christian. There's nothing worse than a Christian who thinks they're so puffed up because of knowledge and because of how long they've known God and because of how great their life is or what they perceive their eternal life to be. There's nothing worse than that. If you look through the scripture, Jesus has the harshest words, not for the unbelievers, but for the rigid, religious, condemning, judgmental people. Several examples. But when you point the way, make sure it's with love and empathy, because so too were you at one point before you found the Lord. When we share our faith, I want you to see it through this lens. I want you to see sharing your faith or pointing the direction, whatever situation God puts you in this week, maybe even leading up into Resurrection Sunday to invite someone. I want you to see it through this lens. Have you ever been, or maybe think about this, the last time you were desperate? Desperate for something. Desperate for information. You were lost, which happens frequently to me. But you were desperate. I can remember being with my family, and we were desperate. We were in a foreign country, in a foreign airport, and didn't know the language. And they had Dad leading the way. How many know we're already lost? We're already lost. Before we even got there, we're already lost. And I was desperate to find the right gate and the right place to be, desperate to find somebody who could at least speak some broken English, because I was desperate to get to our gate and happened to be the airport where you leave it and you go out to a bus and you go to another part of the airport. And if you don't know where you're going, you're going to miss your flight. And when I finally found someone who spoke broken English, and we were to communicate, and they let me know what gate to go to and what bus to take outside of the airport and then to get back in the airport, I was so grateful they didn't say, you know what? All gates lead to your destination. All gates lead to your destination. I don't want to offend you. I don't want to step on your toes. I don't want to be mean or gruff. Like, I don't want you to talk bad about me. I don't want you to feel a certain way about me. All gates lead to your destination. And then I get on the wrong gate. I take my family to somewhere where there's trauma in the Middle East or trauma somewhere else. I'm like, but you lied to me. You told me any gate. You told me any way. You told me do what feels right. You told me find myself. You told me you only live once. You told me there's a myopic way of thinking that the Bible teaches that it will hurt you. I'm so glad they pointed my family out of the right direction. I'm so glad Russ White pointed my dad in the right direction. I'm so glad that we have people in here that are not afraid to point people in the right direction, in a loving way, with kindness, with empathy, with remembering that your job and my job is to just plant a seed. And knowing that another will water that seed at some point, but it's God who will give increase. Jesus says, if you and I give as much as a cup of water in his name. Like, these are the things that God is looking for that we cannot forget. The exclusive way is interesting. And here's the paradigm shift. Here's what makes it so ironic. The exclusive way, at the same time, is the most inclusive way available to mankind. Are you hearing me? The exclusive way, one way to the Father by who? Jesus. One way to the Father by the person of Jesus, at the same time, is the most inclusive way on planet Earth. I want to show you. Romans 10:13 says this. Say it with me. For everyone. Say it with me. For everyone. I'm so glad you're with me now. For everyone. Online, help me out. Maybe you'll put it in the chat or something, because they're not helping me here. For everyone. How inclusive is that? How inclusive is that? Everyone. Like, I'll save you the Bible college I had to go to. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be what? So you're telling me everyone can be saved? You're telling me no one's off limits? No matter where they've been or what they've done or what they're currently doing, the prodigal you're currently praying for, the person that's making your life difficult, everyone can be saved? All right. I know there's some people in here, you're asking some questions. And I'm gonna answer those questions. But what about the people who never heard about God? What about people who lived before Jesus died for them? What about people in the most remote island, most remote tribes? What about people who've been indoctrinated with other things? What do we do with that? Well, these are valid questions. These are good questions. And God is big enough to answer all of them. God doesn't shy away from questions. That's why the Bible is wonderful. But if we're going to answer these questions, we must use the filter and the lens of the Word of God. It's the only caveat. If you want to answer these questions of life, it has to be the filter and the lens of what we would call a biblical worldview. It's really, what does God say? What is God's way? And so to answer these questions, unpack this with our last few moments together, I've got to explain to you the attributes of God. Someone say the attributes of God. So first thing you need to know about God, and the first thing you might want to share with somebody about God, He is good. Used to be a thing back in the day, God is good. And then people say all the time, God is good. Remember that? Let's try it. God is good? All the time, God is good. Psalms 86:5 says this, "You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to who? Who do what? All who call on you. All who call on you." Like I said, it's an exclusive way to God, but it's inclusive of all who would call. No matter where, no matter when, to all. The next thing you should know about Him is that He seeks and He saves. Someone say He seeks and He saves. Please don't think you found God. God found you. Please don't think you found Him. He found you. Luke 19:10 says this, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." See, we make the lost the enemy. Jesus came to seek and save them. He saved you and I, not for ourselves, and not to say, "Well, I've been saved since back in the day, and I've been saved longer than you have shoes and everything." No, 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 no. He saved us not to be pious, not to be Pharisees and Sadducees, not to be holier than thou. He saved us to join Him in doing what? Seek and save the lost. That changes the way we talk about people, doesn't it? Changes the way we consider people and who we have conversations with. He came to seek and to save the lost. Last, He is ready to reveal Himself to every person. Every person on the planet, every person in the history of humanity, if they have searched for God, if they had a quiet, still moment in their heart and say, "God, I want to know You," He promises to reveal Himself. Can I show you? 1 Samuel 2:27. "This is what the Lord says. Did I not clearly reveal Myself to your ancestors, family, when they were in Egypt under Pharaoh?" God revealed Himself to Israel in captivity and Egypt as well. Now, we know the story, the most of us, that Egypt refused, but Israel received. Psalms 98:2. "The Lord has made His salvation known and revealed His righteousness to" who? "The nations." There's no one off limits from His salvation and from His righteousness. Proverbs 8:17 says this, "I love those who love Me, and those who seek Me find Me." How beautiful. Those who seek Me do what? God will reveal Himself to anyone who says, "God, the God who created the heavens and the earth, the real, the genuine God, reveal Yourself to me." He promises to reveal Himself, whether it's Acts chapter 10 with Cornelius, that God has to give a vision to Peter to come to his house and reveal Jesus to him and his household, or the most remote tribe, the most remote people, or the most indoctrinated people. Right now, you can go on Amazon and get a book called Persian Springs. It's about four Iranians who God revealed Himself to them. They never heard about Jesus. They never read a Bible. But they just had a moment and said, "The God of the universe, reveal Yourself to me." And you know what He does? He reveals Himself. Right now, there are people in our church and people who we know in relationship around the world. Guess what? They have friends and family in remote churches in the Middle East and in China, the underground church. And it is exploding around the world. But hold on. They're not very church. There's not churches. There's not Bibles. There's not all these things. Because they asked God, "Reveal Yourself to me." They said, "God, show me who You are. I want to know You." And God promises to reveal Himself when asked. There is no one God would not reveal Himself to. I can remember this one day. Some people knocked on my door. I won't say who they are, but you have a pretty good idea. They knock on your door, and they hope to share some information with you, and they hope to indoctrinate you with some things, right? I'll let you guess which set of people this was, which one they were. So they knock on my door. I was like, this is great. Let's do this. And so I try to be as kind of empathetic as I know to be. And so I listen to the whole story. I listen to where they're going. And I can see they've got one who is like the mature one. And they've got one who's learning, right? So right now, I'm a pilot test is what's happening right now. So they're telling me about how, you know, there's another way other than Jesus. And they tell me how there's other things and he's not the only way in that. And I'm listening. I'm hearing it. And I hear it. I said, and I just felt in my heart, I was like, hey, can we do this as we close? I pray for you. You pray for me. And we can just pray God reveal himself. Can we just do that? And so the younger one to the older one, and the older one said, we can do that. So this is the guy said, yeah, we can do that. And so I pray, and I just gave it all that I had. And I prayed over them. I prayed over their life. And I said, I ended my prayer with this. I said, God, the King of the universe, would you reveal yourself afresh and anew? Would the God, kind of like the Elijah prayer, the true God, the real God of the universe, can you reveal yourself in this circle right here and right now? In Jesus' name, the only name given under heaven to man, whereby man can be saved. Amen. And I don't know if something turned in their heart. I don't know if the conviction flooded their heart or they forgot, but they didn't pray for me. They said, thank you, and turned away. And so I pray in a small way with empathy, with love, but then also in a very serious way that God reveal himself. And I choose to believe that he's going to reveal himself to those two that were at my door that day. Amen. And God is he's a just God. You need to know that about him. He's a just God. Psalm 7:11 says this, God is a fair judge, a God who's angered by injustice every day. You and I serve a just God. He would not let people die and not have a chance to call on his name, to not come to a place in their life where they don't want to do life themselves. They're tired of being their own God. They're tired of being their own Lord. They're tired of living their own life. And no matter what language, what tribe, what nation, what place in the world, if someone calls out, you know what he does? I'll show you in Jeremiah 29. I bet you could quote Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declare the Lord, plan to prosper you, plans of good, not evil, plans of a hope and a future. We stop there. The magnet on the fridge, it stops there. There's no more space left on the bookmark. I want to take you to Jeremiah 29:12 and 13. No 11 today, 12 and 13. Watch this. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me. And I will do what? Doesn't matter what time in history. Doesn't matter what place in the world. Doesn't matter what you already faith or grew up or what you've been indoctrinated with. Doesn't matter what. He says, you pray to me and I will listen. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with what? All of your heart. God, I'm desperate for you. I cannot do this life alone. I don't know who you are, the God of the universe, but I want you. He will reveal himself. Verse 14, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. But the person has to seek him with all of their heart. God is so just, he denies nobody. Nobody who calls on his name will he refuse. Not a thief on the cross. In the 12th hour, moments from death. We call that jailhouse faith. Hey, get you to heaven. Not even a terrorist of Christians, someone named Saul who would become Paul, doesn't even deny him. Because whoever seeks with all their heart will be found. And so what we know is this, it's not about the volume of knowledge, but the intensity of the search. You don't have to know it all to trust the God of it all. You just have to, with your heart, surrender to God. God gives everyone free will at the same time, as well as free access to him. He builds us with free will. He creates us with free will, as well as free access to him. He doesn't pull that free will. This is the fairest format you could imagine. The God who gave free will and won't make anybody do anything against their will. Right now, you and I, we are living in free will, and we get to choose if we bow a knee before God or not. You know, the extension, the afterlife, eternity, wherever Elvis is, right? Wherever he is, it's extension of how he lived his life. And wherever you and I live, and after this life is over, it's extension of how we lived our life. Whether we choose to bow now or not, up to us. C.S. Lewis probably has one of the greatest quotes around this I'm going to share with you. I'm going to share a little more than typically is shared with this quote because it's pretty good. In his work, The Great Divorce, he says this: there are only two kinds of people in the end. Those who say to God, thy will be done. I will serve you, I will live for you, God. I want your will in my life. I will serve you with all of my heart. And those to whom God says in the end, okay, you didn't want me? You didn't want my will? You didn't want me to be Lord of your life? You wanted to do your life your way? You wanted to find your own life and your own identity? Okay, thy will be done. All that are in hell choose it. Without that self-choice, there could be no hell. No soul that seriously and constantly desires joy will ever miss it. Those who seek it, find it. Those who knock, it is opened. Is that not a fair God? Is that not a fair God? God has never resisted anybody. Although the flip side is not true. Many have resisted God. And so for us, don't get hung up on the fact there's only one way to God. Be excited there is a way to God. People get hung up on the wrong things. There's only one way. Yes. And not because I say so. Not because you say so. Because the Word of God says so. But can we rejoice? Can we celebrate? Can we be so excited to share this that we know the way to our Father? We started with the question. And the question was, how can we know the way? And we finish with the answer. We know the way to the person of Jesus. And that's not just for salvation, but that's for everything happening in our life. And so I want to ask for you to take this message and for you to, for the rest of this year, ask God to reveal the way in your life. If you already have salvation, that's the most important way to be revealed. But after that, every area of your life, can you pray, God, reveal the way. Reveal your voice. The Bible says, my sheep know my voice. God, reveal your purpose and your promise. The Bible says, God orders the steps of the righteous. God, would you order my steps, Lord? God says he goes before us. God says he promises to be a cloud by day and fire by night, that he lead us in every situation. But it's for us to pursue the way. We just read it with all of our heart and all of our soul. No one is left behind who truly wants God. No one is left behind that God won't reveal his son to. So God, reveal your son in this building. Reveal your son online. Reveal your son right now in the most remote places in the world, Lord, I pray. Right now I pray for the 1040 window, Father. Right now I pray for people all over the world who are crying and out for a God to reveal himself. Would you reveal the person of Jesus? Would reveal the way in our homes, God. There's no way we can build healthy churches and healthy communities, Father, if we have not sought the way. Thank you for doubting Thomas, as we call him, who said, I don't know what you're talking about. Because I needed to know, Father, what you meant by that. Thank you for the way. Thank you that there is a way to the Father. Thank you that you found us. We didn't find you. Thank you that you love us and you're for us. We honor you today, Lord. With your heads bowed, I want to ask you today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you have not, as we just read, with all of your heart, sought him and surrendered to him, I want to give you this moment, that it would be the best moment of your life that you would surrender to him. And if you're in the building, you're online, this is a day for you to surrender to him. Please don't miss an opportunity. For others who maybe you've walked away from God for whatever reasons, please don't miss this opportunity to rededicate your life to him and get back on track. He is married to the backslider. He welcomes the prodigal back to him. We want to do that as a church family. So this next moment, we're going to pray a prayer. And whether you're going to rededicate your life or receive Jesus for the first time, we believe the power is not in the words, but in the posture of the heart. Will you pray with us in our church as we pray this prayer? Lord God, we believe in you. We repent of our sins. Search you with all of our heart. And welcome Jesus into our lives. Give us a hunger for your word and for discipleship the rest of our days. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Would you put your hands together for all those who prayed that prayer? God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us at legacychurchai.org or on Legacy Church AI on Instagram and Facebook. We love you, Legacy family. See you next time.